Over the last 5 or 6 Sundays, we've been reading from the Gospel of Mark about the passion predictions. I believe there are a total of 3 in Mark's Gospel. And each time Jesus predicts his passion, his death and resurrection, there's a reaction among his disciples. And their reaction becomes an opportunity for him to teach them about this new humanity that he is envisioning for the world. And it has to do with letting go, laying down your life, losing yourself so that you can gain yourself, all these things we hear so often in the liturgy and in the scriptures. And interestingly, the first reading today is from one of the suffering servant psalms of Isaiah, which we normally read during Holy Week. Holy Week is kind of the centerpiece of the Paschal season, which celebrates in an intense way what every Sunday celebrates, namely the Paschal mystery, the dying and rising of Christ, the dying and rising pattern that's in all reality, because all reality comes from God and is created by God and in some way images God. So this dying and rising pattern, we're in the midst of fall, you know, the leaves are falling, everything is dying, but it's going to come back in the spring. This is the pattern of all existence. Galaxies come into being and then die after billions of years. Everything is in a dying and rising pattern because that's who God is. Because in the Trinity, each of those 3 persons is dying for the other 2 and receiving that same self-offering back from the other 2 in this everlasting dynamic, this dance of love, in a dying and rising, in a giving and receiving. So this is the pattern for all life. But sin comes in and makes death a negative. And so we fear death and we resist death and we drink at the fountain of youth and all this kind of stuff. And we're fearful and we're ashamed and we're competitive and we're always comparing ourselves with each other. And, you know, this is all about the false self. It's all about the ego, this fragile ego that has to be protected, that's always fearful, and it has to dominate, and it has to compare itself with other people. Jesus says in the gospel today, you know how those in authority in the world, and in the world in the scriptures is always the world as we experience it in a without God. The world without God. So in the Garden of Eden, they're naked, but they're non-ashamed. Shame comes in, clothing becomes necessary because of sin. They're absolutely in union with God, and they're in union with all of creation, and there's no comparison, there's no fear, there's no judgment. It's just all one. But sin enters in, alienation, separation, fear, competitiveness, shame. And so that's the world that we find ourselves in. And so whenever the scriptures talk about the world, they're talking about the world after the fall, the world without God. But Jesus comes into this world as God, and he shows us what humanity could look like with God. Absolutely in union with God. So in union with God that Jesus says, anyone who looks on me is seeing the Father because the Father and I are one. He is divinity in human form. And what that looks like is someone who is absolutely unafraid. He has no sense of competition. He never compares himself with anyone else. He never has any need to dominate or have authority over or push down anyone else. He just seems to be absolutely free. And it freaks people out. The scribes and the Pharisees, they don't know what to do with this guy. And his own disciples don't know what to do with him. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we're hearing that they're arguing among themselves about who's the greatest. And Jesus pulls a little child over and says, this is the greatest. This nothing, this insignificant, innocent child who accepts their parents absolutely, who accepts the world as it is, that's who is great. And now James and John come to Jesus privately and say, can you do something for us? They want to sit at his right and his left. He's the star that they've attached themselves to, and they want to be in dominance. They want to be on thrones along with him. And you know, you can just see Jesus pulling his hair out and saying, how long is it going to take for you guys to get this? I'm not talking about the world as it is. I'm talking about the world with God. I'm inviting you into a divine way of being, a new humanity that's not based on greed or competitiveness or fear, domination, prestige, rank. It has nothing to do with any of that. This ego, this false self, it's just a tiny little nothing in the vastness of God's creation, in the vastness of the kingdom. And if we pay too much attention to that little thing, if we attach ourselves too closely to that small little ego, then we're going to miss out on everything else. Mahatma Gandhi had a saying, renounce and enjoy. Renounce and enjoy. If you renounce yourself, then you open up a door to experiencing all kinds of other things that were closed to you because you were so stuck on yourself, and you're stuck on your fears and your anxieties and your insecurities and on and on. Renounce and enjoy. And that's what Jesus is saying. If you let go of all this stuff, if you let go of your fear, your domination, all that, and make yourself the servant of all like I have, then you can experience divinity even now, a divine way of being human. That's what we're invited into. And yes, it's going to happen fully in the realized kingdom in the future. But Jesus keeps saying, but you could have that now. You could be divine now. You could be looking on the face of God now if you'd let go of all this other stuff. Well, every Sunday we practice that ritually by letting ourselves go, by laying ourselves on the altar along with Christ, by making ourselves sacrificial, by making ourselves an offering to God, to let go of our will and be one with God's will. And there's such freedom in that. But you have to do some letting go before you can taste that freedom. And each of us have already had a taste of that. That's why you know what I'm talking about, because we've all tasted it. But we want to, as life goes on, taste more. Drink more from that life-giving stream instead of this imaginary fountain of youth that's meaningless. To drink of the life-giving water of baptism, to be baptized in the same baptism that Christ is baptized, which is a baptism of suffering and death, but also of resurrection. We have to embrace the death, the letting go, the dying, so that we can experience the kingdom, the resurrected life, even now.